When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, hailing
from the top rope.
The top rope. Leroy, your boy. Birdie, YouTube man. Robbie C, how are you today?
Dude, I'm doing well. I 100% had a sinus infection while I was up there last week.
Those last couple of days, you seemed like you're feeling a little rough.
When we finished filming live last week, I literally, my eyes were like watering. Mm-hmm. I was so congested. So I left Jason's house Saturday morning, drove home. And I didn't even stop at my house. I just drove straight to an urgent care and like got medicine. So got medicine, got a shot. So I'm feeling a lot better. I'm in that like the meds are now also flushing out all the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think I sound any better than I was last week, but
I disagree. You definitely sound better.
I feel infinitely better. Good. Feeling great. How are you doing?
Good, man. Oh, I also want to point out, it was funny. I was just showing Kimberly, like, well, obviously my wife, Kimberly, will talk about the podcast, right? And I showed her just like, I was like, hey, it was really interesting. We were all three in the studio. Here's the new studio setup. And she goes, why does Robbie look like he's in prison right now? So I thought that was very funny. Cause you just had like that brick wall behind you. It was just really funny. Anyway, I'm doing really well. Despite, you know, I think the bad days of throwing in disc golf are bothering me less and less. So maybe that's good. Maybe I'm growing. I don't know. But I think the live is so much fun for me. Like, I don't even really care if I'm throwing bad anymore. I just like hanging out with all of you and you people. So that's great. Headed into Memorial Day weekend, long weekend. Hopefully get some additional disc golf in. You know what I mean? So yeah. New London and then... I'm grooming my home course because we are having a foundation staff tag round and cookout at my house in June. So I'm cutting fairways into my yard and it's just, I want to make it great for the guys. I think I'm adding a couple holes. So I don't know. Something this part of summer like awakens my like disc golf love again and I love it. So I'm happy to be here. Happy for this episode. And I love putters. Like, let's just say it. This is a putter episode, everybody. Spoiler alert here.
I love putters as well. If I had one drawback on putters, it's that they take up more space in the bag. Yep. So I physically cannot carry as much discs when I bag more putters. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is a reality that we live in. But speaking of realities that we live in, Brad, before we bring in our guests, we want to let people know that we do have our first video, as you guys are watching, as we're recording this, it's going live in about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who are watching this when this episode drops, it will have been live for over a day. Mm-hmm. But there is a video live on In the Bags YouTube channel. So I would say the two easiest ways you're going to find it, you're going to Google or like look up on YouTube In the Bag to go find it that way. Mm-hmm. Or because it's a newer channel, sometimes they're really difficult to find on those newer channels. So another fast way to get there is if you head over to my channel, Robbie C Disc Golf, and you check out the video that I'm dropping today. The thumbnail is going to be Brad and Jason. It says the rematch. And inside the description of that video, you'll have a link to the other, like to the back nine, which is on the In the Bag YouTube channel.
Right. Yeah, and you want to watch them as a pair. You got to see the whole thing play out. And
for sure.
Again, we'll have some more details at the end of the episode. We have like kind of an actual schedule now for everybody on kind of like what we're going to drop when like this is all. If you're a Spotify, Apple, if you're a podcast listener only, zero is changing for you.
Yep.
If you're only a podcast listener, though, let me encourage you to go to the In the Bag YouTube channel. We are going to be doing some more short content, some more videos, and it's going to be a lot of like what you all want to see. You're going to have a lot of input in this channel. So, but you know, in June we are going to stop going to the Foundation Podcast. We're still a Foundation Podcast. As you see, Griplock split off, the banter split off. Now it's time for In the Bag and Debate Night to start splitting off. And then the Foundation Podcast channel is really going to just become the Tour Life channel. That's kind of the back end look at this thing. But yeah, make sure you head over there. Like Robbie said, check out the video on his channel. It'll be linked over there. Make sure you subscribe, turn on notifications so you can see what we're posting when we're posting it. It's going to help out a ton. The quicker we can get that subscriber count up and the more views and watch time we can get, the more time we can dedicate to that channel as far as creating content. So, you know, do your Disc RPM thing, guys. We're always blown away by your support. We're so grateful. I mean, we have 1,500 people in Disc RPM right now, which is crazy. We're just so grateful for you all. So check that out. But in the meantime, let's bring in our guests because that is what we're all here for.
Let's do it. Welcome in. Welcome in, Lee. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great. How y'all doing?
We are doing well. We were commenting on, for you video watchers, he has some pretty sweet pictures behind him. We always like appreciate the background here a little bit. So
yeah, you always gotta have the aesthetic.
Yeah. Hey, we appreciate you. You're someone who contacted us through the In the Bag Instagram. You've used Disc RPM. You did all the right things, and here you are. You're here on the episode. So what we'd like to do, besides learning about your apparently really good decorating style, we'd like to get to know you more as a disc golfer, and Robbie will lead you through some questions there.
Yeah. I chuckled because it's like, I feel like we've got kind of the three backgrounds going here for our visual watchers. Like my background is super simple, like black room, got a couple, little bit of color up there, some lights, all that. I feel like Lee, you're living in this middle ground of this beautiful posters, all that. And then Brad's got the, I'm straight in the grind. I'm in the warehouse. Here we go.
You got like a hot stamper right here. Like,
yeah. Dude, it's a time. So, Lee, we want to get to know you. How long, two major questions, how long have you been playing and what area of the country are you playing in?
I've been playing since about the end of 2018 and, I play, Tallahassee, Florida. So Florida disc golf, anything down here, it's just kind of the local area down here.
Okay.
Awesome. I don't think we've had a lot of Florida golfers, have we?
I really don't think we have.
Not that I know of.
Florida golf is like, I feel like it's so unique because you end up with a lot of, you could drive an hour in Florida and feel like you're playing in a drastically different environment. Like,
yeah. This is a surprising amount of elevation, I feel like, for a flat state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Florida also is home to the round that I've played with friends that we lost more discs than any other round. Like one singular, we had six discs lost across our crew. Seven total, but one guy lost a disc twice. Same disc. And when I say lost a disc twice, I mean literally lost it, bought it back from the pro shop, and then lost it again.
Dang.
Incredible. So
yeah, the rough gets rough, definitely. So if you got to keep it in the fairway here because it gets thick, especially around summertime when things start getting real full.
You could like reach for your disc. And you got a crocodile, no alligator, and you got iguanas and wild boar. It's a whole different element down there.
I was told a pro tip, always grab with your offhand because you never know when water moccasin is going to be down there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Yeah. I learned that lesson the hard way in the tournament. My disc landed like it was perfectly on top of an ant pile. And so went to like scoop it up and then it was just covered in ants. And so my fingertips got bit up and I was like, ow. And it just, it ruined everything for the rest of the round. So I completely agree with that. Even if you don't live in the Everglades.
Florida is the Australia of the United States. Let's just call it what it is.
Okay.
That's pretty accurate.
I like that. Speaking of things that we might like, and you know, we don't know the answer to this question, Lee. What if we were to put you in a field and we were to say, hey, we're going to put a basket X amount of feet away from you, and you've got to reach it comfortably on forehand and backhand, not one time with the tailwinds, 300 feet of elevation change. What are you saying is your comfortable max or comfortable golf shot distance for backhand and forehand?
Backhand ranges from around like the 420 to 450 range, more like 430 maybe. That's like where I feel comfortable that I can put it like close in the circle. And then forehand is like 350 range. It's not as powerful, but it still gets the job done.
Come on. Y'all asked. You wanted some bigger arms.
Here we are. So I was basically looking at your bag, and we'll get into it. But I see, and when I see enforcer, I'm like, okay, this person probably throws really far. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's enforcer with the notes that you have in here, Lee.
Yeah, correct.
Because correct. So there are lots of you who probably could put an enforcer in your bag, but what you're going to use it for is drastically different.
It says slightly overstable. That is the note. I'm just like, okay.
It's hit a few trees.
Yeah.
All right. We're here for it. Okay. So let's put you on the putting green, Lee. And you got to putt. You've got to make 10 putts from 15 feet, 10 putts from 25 feet, 10 putts from 40 feet. How many are you making at each station?
Putting is kind of what holds me back. I feel like I haven't been the greatest putter in my career. but I did go out yesterday to attempt it to see what it would do. And from 15 feet, I was 9 for 10. So, you know, there's always going to be that one. But for the most part, I can hit those in, but I might wink yank one to the right or something. Mm-hmm. 25 feet is kind of my iffy range because I push putt. So inside circle, I push putt. So that's like more like 4 out of 10 from there. Okay. And then outside a circle, I start spin putting. Mm-hmm. So, but that would be 40 feet would be around 2 out of 10 usually.
Okay.
Yeah. So one or two will follow you.
Yeah. I'm here for it. That is, I think the more that I like watch the Pro Tour players and things like that, like it amazes me. Their circle one percentages, it's like, okay, I can somewhat grasp around that. But the idea of like a great Pro Tour like circle two putter is only hitting like 50% of their circle two putts.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I want to pass along forgiveness to the crowd of like, I think some people walk in and they're like, my answer to this question from 40 feet is like 1 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And I'm embarrassed by that. And it's like, nah, dude, like you should feel proud of that. You hit 2 out of 10.
Course.
You hit 2 out of 10. You're cooking. You hit 3 out of 10. That's a Pro Tour tournament level average from circle two. So that's a whole nother shebang. Okay. So last question, Lee, would be then, if you would say putting is what holds you back, what would you say is the biggest strength of your game?
Probably off the tee. If I have a longer distance shot, like a low ceiling, tight fairway, but it's a little longer, kind of like those Calvin shots, those are kind of, I grew up watching him 2018. I saw him and Paul battle it out. So I've always kind of admired that like low style. So any shots with like long, low ceilings, usually kind of where I strive.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I was talking with Swanky Disc Golf, friends of the channel. We were talking yesterday, and with OTB Open becoming the major next year for Champions Cup at that Swenson course, he said, conspiracy theory, did they move OTB or did they move Champions Cup out there so that Calvin would have a much better chance at winning a major because of all the low ceiling shots?
That's funny.
I don't know. I'll say the roller players showed up for that, though. I was surprised to see the top 10. But it's definitely a low ceiling course.
it certainly makes my heart happy though to watch Calvin not lean on the roller as much and still come out with the dub. I'm not saying rollers are bad. There is a skill to throwing rollers that I do not have. But props to them. But speaking of rollers, we want to drive right into your Bagley because you have a roller disc in your bag. So we're talking putters, which is, I think, going to be a great conversation because we've got three really sneaky recommendations. One of them, I would say, not so sneaky, but two of them easily overlooked amongst the wealth of disc golf options out there. So we're going to start with drivers. You've got four Trilogy drivers in there, which feels good. Would you say that you have a brand that you kind of lean towards, or are you just kind of like grabbing what feels good?
For the most part, it comes down to what feels good, but I do like to lean towards Dynamic, just all three of those. Dynamic, this the stamps and the plastics usually feel good, and sometimes they'll have flatter runs, so you can find a flatter run from them. Usually I love what they have.
I
throw all sorts of.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Brands, I'm not really brand loyal or anything. I love to just throw what I like, throw what feels good.
Amen.
I'm cracking up at one of these descriptions. I won't interrupt you, but I'm trying not to like die over here.
No, I'm jumping right into it. So you got two trespasses in the bag. You've got it looks like Fusion Orbit. And then Fusion Orbit. And then when you put discs into Disc RPM, y'all, you can put show notes in there and like notes, show disc notes. So that way you can describe how it's thrown. Lee did a really good job because he has notes on almost all of these discs so that we kind of had a better idea of what they do. That also, if you want a better chance of getting on the show, please do that, because now I have less questions, which allows me to kind of plan the show a little bit better. But you got two trespasses. One of them, you've described the makeup of like the plastic type of the disc a certain way. Let's talk about that one.
Yeah, that would be the trespass and dirt plastic. Yeah, that one's good. I got that at a used bin at a local plate again, and I didn't know what plastic it was, but it ever since I've gotten it, it's just been the flippiest driver I've held. So, you know, I can put it on a hyzer and it'll just flip up and roll. And yeah, I didn't know what plastic it was, so I just put dirt in there.
that was funny. It caught me off guard. That was very funny.
I love that. So talk about, you've got one that flips over, but then you move over to another trespass. What is that big what is the difference between those two trespasses? Like, is the other one still pretty flippy as well?
It's flippy, but it's not as flippy. The other one, unless you're throwing like a Sky Annie or Sky Distance Shot, it's usually just going to roll. But this one, you can kind of get it to air out and just glide to the right, as opposed to kind of like that. Y'all mentioned like that diver bomb effect, to where it'll kind of just roll over. So yeah, it kind of just glides a little easier, and you can put some hyzer and play with it.
Okay. So one thing that I appreciate here is you put like what's your main distance driver, like you're going to quite often. So take us to the synapse with the lens of the trespass, if that makes any sense. So like the trespass isn't doing this, which makes me lean on the synapse more because it does this. Does that framework kind of make sense?
Yeah. So the trespass, I'm kind of using it for more shots that I want to slowly turn right, or shots that I kind of want to take a little power off to kind of have it flip up slow. But with the synapse, I can throw that flat and know it's only going to turn a little bit right and a little bit left, and it's not really going to deviate much. While that trespass, you kind of have to play with it to get that straight shot. But I feel like with the synapse, I can hit any like tight window from a good distance, but it's because it just has that straight shot and not much turn, not much fade. while the Synapse has more of it, or the Trespass has more like an S flight kind of.
Okay. Would you say that you can get more distance, like if you were able to throw them both 10 times side by side, would you say that there's more distance potential in the Trespass, or is it too flippy? Is it too flippy to get that kind of max distance potential?
If I'm throwing a distance line, that might be, but it's not as torque resistant. I feel like with the Synapse, I can kind of feel like even if I put a little Annie on it, I know it's not going to burn over. But if you throw the Trespass hard, I feel like it kind of burns, and that might be a nose down angle or something. Cause I don't really throw sky shots. I throw like low shots. Mm-hmm. So I like to play with shots that I know won't burn over.
Okay. Yeah. That's, Calvin admittedly has said he's bad in distance competitions because he's not good at throwing, like you said, those sky shots, things like that. He's just used to, and that's what I think makes it so insane is the man's throwing like 550 foot, like just frozen laser ropes. Yeah. Like it's insane. So that makes total sense. So Synapse main workhorse, what makes you jump over to that Enforcer? What's the Enforcer doing there for you?
That's kind of just like my slightly overstable distance driver. I don't like super overstable distance drivers because I feel like I'll go to a fairway at that point because, you know, they're similar flights in theory. So I kind of use that as my overstable distance driver. If I need to flex something and know it'll come back left, or just a sweeping hyzer that I know I can put out there and it won't flip up or anything, it'll just kind of glide to the left.
Okay.
Oh, and it's my main forehand distance driver, so I'll forehand that a lot too.
Okay. That's so flex shots. Will you throw backhand flex shots with this as well?
Yeah. So backhand flex shots and then forehand kind of like flat flip up to where like kind of like glides and then fades.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I'm here for it. Brad, when he's mentioned that, like, not super overstable, I know you're kind of in the process of putting distance drivers back in, but I feel like that comment for those who aren't throwing 400 plus probably should resonate more than, like, I don't want to glance past. I think, Lee, you dropped a huge amount of wisdom there that our listeners need to, like, pay attention to. Brad, what do you think about that? Like, that statement of, if I need super overstable, I can just jump to a fairway.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because I think there's not a lot of, I'm going to say this may not make sense, but like if I go down to a fairway driver, right, I know my arm speed is like closer to those. So I'm going to have more variation between shots, I guess. But when I jump up to like a distance driver, I'm not going to have a lot. Like, I don't feel like I have like the arm speed or the control at this point to like really tell the difference between like a stable distance driver, a slightly overstable, and a very overstable. They're either probably going to be like stable or very overstable for me, if that makes sense. And yeah, leaning on like the Strive is on like unlock something for me, because the Strive is the first distance driver I've thrown in a very long, maybe ever, that I can release on a little bit of hyzer. I can give it the beans, as Nate says, release on a little hyzer. It'll flip up, maybe turn a little bit, and then fade out. Like, it has a very like predictable flight every time for me. If I need something different than that, I'm going to have to add a control element, which I'm going to lose if I have to throw max distance, I guess. So that's why I'm going to go down to like an Enforcer, for example, not an Enforcer, an Evader, sorry, an Evader, for example, because I know that's overstable, but I can control it like way better. I don't have to like give it like the beans, and then I'm going to have like that more predictable shot for like an overstable. And if I really need something overstable, I really want to get onto like a mid-range or a putter. I may not be able to like get the distance I need maybe, but I know I have the control plus the overstability. Does that make sense? Did I add to that wisdom, or did I say something different? I'm sorry. I think I kind of lost myself in the thought there.
No, I think it's definitely there. I think about, I just played around Tuesday with a couple people in the like elbow rehabbing. I'm basically trying to play one full round a week right now. I probably could play more, but with filming whatever I'm filming for the week, and then one full round just to kind of ease back in and see how it feels during that full round. And we stepped up to a 410 foot hole, wide open field. This should be textbook, like, get a birdie look. At worst, we're pitching up, taking a par. And I grabbed a distance driver because I was like, let's send it. Let's go for it. But I had thought to myself, I could just throw a fairway nice and smooth. And I'm not going to get the birdie unless I make a long putt, but I could just throw this. And because I had the distance driver in my hand, the window of error is so much larger.
Yep.
And Lee, you've got more distance than both of us here. So I would want to ask you, the better question is, do you still, even with feeling like you have the arm speed to throw those faster discs, does the window of error feel like it's still just as large, even when you have the potential to throw those faster discs? Or does that window of error kind of shrink and it feels similar to your fairways?
So you're asking if the distance drivers feel like they have more error room?
Yeah. Does that make sense? For Brad not feel like he has the arm to like really pump a distance driver, that window of error is so big, usually not worth the risk of throwing the distance driver. But fairway drivers, that window is a lot smaller because his arm matches that. Well, your arm matches the distance driver window. Does it feel like that window is comparable in terms of error to not error on distance drivers as it is to fairway drivers? Or is it still, just because you're throwing that bigger disc, even with the arm speed potential, it's still pretty big?
Yeah, I feel like with fairways, I definitely feel more confident hitting a gap. Like if I'm in the woods, I feel like that's where I would lean to it. But if I'm in an open field, I feel like it's the distance driver, it's more predictable to fight the wind and stuff. So it depends on the shot, really. So like if I'm having an open shot and I know that I can air out the shot, I usually go to the distance driver there. But if I have to shape a shot, I feel like the fairway driver is much better at doing that. Even if you lose, you're not going to lose a ton of distance. You're going to lose maybe 30 to 50 feet, but you'll be able to shape that shot much more. And I really only flick over stable. So it's a lot of straight to fade and then flex shots. So I feel like with a fairway, you can kind of hit the aim point easier, even if you're not going to get as far down the fairway.
That makes sense. I'm here for it. So let's jump down two fairways then. We'll come back to the special one. We'll end fairway discussion on that one. There's one that if you're watching this live, you see it. It's sitting off to the side. So I want to talk understable first, the rhythm and the river. What are those two? What's the differences between those two for you?
The river kind of fills my stable trespass slot, to where it's that hyzer flip to slow turn. And I know that I don't have to throw it that hard to get it to glide to the right. While the rhythm, I can hit it hard and it's just going to be similar to the synapse, is like that straight. So it's really similar to the synapse and trespass. A comparison of one is my disc that I don't have to hit as hard and it'll glide over. With the rhythm, even though it says it's a -2.1, I need to change the numbers on the app because it's more like a -1.2. The one I have is super flat top, so it's actually pretty overstable for a rhythm.
Okay.
Yeah. I found that with the rhythm too. I don't feel like the rhythm is as flippy as you would think it would be.
Yeah. Plastic type has to have an effect on that though, because I feel like most rhythms that I see end up being fissioned. And yes. I like watching this. The gyronauts are freaking out in the chat right now. But like this, how long have you had this rhythm? Like, did they drop in Neutron originally, or is the Neutron a later run?
I'm not sure. I found it at my local store. So yeah, a local retailer had it, and I'm a big person on like how the disc feels. So I'll go to a store. I know what slot I'm looking for, but I don't know what disc it will be. So I'm just going disc by disc on the shelf, filling. And I felt that one, and I saw it was flat top. It had a smooth rim, and I just tried it out, and I like the name and the rhythm. The red on red looks cool. So, yeah, it kind of just fit the slot I was looking for. I actually wanted it to be a little flippier because I wanted to have that disc that slow turned, but it's turned into my favorite straight fairway, like by far. It's my favorite fairway right now in the bag.
Okay.
We have some Neutron Rhythms going up this Friday, Robbie, to be honest.
Okay.
Pick them up. Okay. They're a good disc. It's a great disc.
Hey, Lee, thank you, Lee. Thank you. I don't know in 102 episodes that we've ever like mentioned something like that. And the people are just like, boom, like jumping in the jumping in the sale with us. So we appreciate it. So the Pioneer, specifically those Glow Pioneers, that run is infamous to me. Our local shop had them for a little while. That run of Pioneer, when I think of the Pioneer, I believe the Pioneer was supposed to be Latitude 64's answer to the Firebird. Like it was, you had the Pioneer, the Ati, and the Felon. Those were the trilogy like overstable options. How does that, with that like framing in mind, does the Pioneer meet that for you, or is it just simply not that type of disc?
The Pioneer, I've always described it to people who don't know about it, as like a beaten glidier Firebird. To where it's kind of like those, I think the 2019 Sexton ones. They were a little flippier, and they kind of glided a little more. And so I don't have to hit it as hard, but I still know it's going to have a dependable fade. And that's my main forehand disc, is I use that because I know I can throw it flat, and it's not going to roll over, and it's not going to fade super hard. It'll just push and then have a dependable fade. So that's always the Pioneer has been a staple in my bag for a while. And I used to throw the Gold Line Burst. That was my favorite plastic for years, and I retired two of those.
Okay. Dude, that moonshine run of Pioneer, I bet that if you went to someone who like had a online inventory, I feel like if you went to like tridisc.com, you could probably find that run of Pioneer sitting on someone's shelf somewhere. I don't know what it was about that run, but they ran so many of them. It was wild. I felt like I could walk into most shops and find that run of Pioneer. So if you love it, it should still be out there. So with that, you said glidier beat in. So then you have a Champ Firebird that is what, how does that fly for you?
That thing is super overstable for a Firebird. I got it from my friend Jason a while back, and I had it on the shelf cause I thought it looked cool, but one day I was looking at it, I was like, I should try it. And that it is super overstable. I can throw it on an Anheuser and I know it's going to come back if I give it the air. But I'm kind of throwing that for backhand spike shots or like real hard flex shots with a forehand. But yeah, it is much more overstable than that Pioneer in my eyes.
Yeah. And then the most overstable, the king of overstable. You got a tilt in your bag.
Oh, yeah. Had the tilt in the bag. Love it. As soon as they came out with the metas, I've always had a tilt in the bag. It is my get-out-of-jail-free card. Any scramble shot or any weird shot where you have to flare to the left or right, that's my go-to. I actually really love that. I throw some crazy shots. I really only throw flex backhands and forehands with it though to like get out of jail, because you can hit it on that angle and know it's so going to get back so quick. So you almost feel like you're throwing a baseball almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was curious because Brad throws some thumbers. I'm curious. Have you ever considered like putting a tilt in the bag, Brad? For thumbers?
I haven't, but I feel like I should. I don't even know. I don't think I've ever even thrown a tilt, to be honest with you.
We will have to remedy that. I'll bring one up when I come for Worlds. Like it's a game changer. It is.
I like the thumber. Yeah. I like to throw thumbers.
Incredible. So let's dive through. We're going to dive through mids real fast, cause I want to make sure that we don't keep you too long, Lee. We appreciate you coming on with us this morning.
Yeah, of course.
So mids, a mid that is near and dear to Brad's heart, the Bobcat.
Big old Bobcat.
What's the Bobcat doing for you? And I want to kind of put it right next to the tactic, because I feel like those could be eerily similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the Bobcat is actually like, sorry, Brad, but it's like my most used disc in my bag. It's really only for like those utility shots, because for the most part, I'll either lean to that Firebird or, like you said, that tactic. Mm-hmm. Those are like my go-to overstable disc. But this is like, if I feel like I got to hit a lower ceiling than the tactic, I can kind of throw that and know it's going to have a little fade, but it's not as overstable as I would have wanted, but it still has some stability.
Yeah, I think the thing I liked about the Bobcat, A, it was like super flat, which I'm sure is what you like about it. And also, I also think I have maybe the most overstable Bobcat on the planet. Just, I'm throwing that out there. But I did like that I could throw it and it stayed in the air for a while. It did seem like it wanted to glide and still have the overstability, which was, at the time, a very hard disc for me to come by. Have you thrown a Quake before?
I have not. I've heard y'all talk about it, but I haven't even felt one. So I don't know if my local store has them, but yeah.
Because they like the PL lines tend to be like a little flatter, at least from the ones I've seen. Flat top, but it does. Well, the Bobcat has a bead too. So I mean, I know you said you didn't really love beads, but do they not bother you on mid ranges?
I thought the Bobcat was flat. Does it have a bead?
I have one right behind me. In the meantime,
but yeah,
the Quake definitely does. So the Quake may not be for you in that respect. Mm-hmm. So you have your tactic that's like more overstable that you need some air. You have the Bobcat that's like low ceiling. You need like a straight but with some overstability at the end. And then you have an Eclipse Hex. So how does that fit in? I'm curious, Robbie, the Hex and the Buzz SS, like what they're doing differently for you.
Yeah, especially with your arm speed.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Hex, I have a kind of a theme with all of my discs. Like I have the four stability slots. I have the overstable, the slightly stable, the slightly understable, and then the roller. So it's kind of like I go down those four tiers. So the Buzz SS, we'll start with the Hex. The Hex, I kind of, I feel like it's kind of like the rhythm to where I can hit it hard and know that it's not going to roll over. While the Buzz SS, it's just this beautiful slow turn. And Buzz SS is kind of one of my favorite discs right now too for my mid-ranges, because I feel like it still is torque resistant, which I know like the Origin and stuff, I've tried that and I felt like it wasn't as torque resistant. I don't know, that maybe just how I was holding it or something.
But with the Buzz,
Yeah, it turns pretty easy for me. So if it turns easy for me, it's definitely going to turn easy for you.
Yeah. So I was looking for that disc that just had that slow turn if you hit it flat, and that Buzz SS has been the best so far. And it's very flat top like all my other ones.
I'm here for it. And if you need easy turn, you got the Rollo chilling in there.
Oh, yeah. That's been fun. I love the Rollo. I actually throw like a lot of like high hyzer shots that just slowly turn with it. If like I have to like get around a corner or something, I love it for those types of shots, or just like really easy rollers to put down. Just put a little ante with not much power and it just rolls forever.
Dude, the Rollo might be the best thing Innova has released in the past 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
I just feel like they created this like meme seeming disc, and it has just turned into a beloved disc by so many people. Mm-hmm. So I love that you described this as you have the four different stabilities and you just kind of ramp that up, depending on the speed and everything. So I feel like that can really help shape the putter conversation, especially as Brad is thinking and contemplating through the disc he threw.
Yep.
So would you consider the tactic more of that like putter slot in your head, or does it really kind of float between the mids and the putters?
Yeah, I've always thought of it as a putt and approach. Like throw it off the tee every now and then, but if it's more than 250, you know, I'm not really looking to smash on it. I'll kind of smooth something out with the mid range or just play with the angle of the mid range or something. But yeah, it's a lot of scramble shots that I use it for. Like I use a lot of forehands for that, or just like backhand straight to fades. But yeah, I don't really use it that much off the tee. So I think of it more as a putter. Yeah.
Okay. So then the glitch filling that like understable side, or are you ever actually even throwing the glitch like for distance?
No. The glitch is like 100 to 150 feet. I'm not really throwing it more out of there. It's kind of just that fun disc that you can just use all wrist and it kind of just goes straight. I've had some fun little throw-ins with the glitch, but yeah, I don't really use it. It's not very torque resistant off the tee. So with my putters as well, I only throw fan grip for most of my putters other than the tactic. I'll power grip that because it takes a little bit more power, but yeah, I like to fan grip those and kind of just smooth them out, especially with the glitch.
So would you say that your Eclipse Envy, does it feel more of the like synapse rhythm hex side, or is it closer to like Enforcer Firebird or like Enforcer Pioneer Bobcat side?
Yeah, it's definitely in that synapse slot. Yeah. The straight to slightly overstable to where I can hit it and I know it's going to go straight, not turn, not fade that much, but yeah, it definitely fills that slot of straight to slightly overstable.
And you said you're really just throwing that off the tee. You're not really trying to approach with that at all, right?
Not too much, unless I'm doing like a real baby flex that kind of never comes all the way back. But yeah, I do use it more off the tee, I feel like, than any of my other putters, because as people know, the Envies always feel like mid-ranges. I don't know what it is about them, but they just go so fast. I don't get it.
Yeah, I love them.
So yeah, I don't really use it for the approach shots because I feel like I can fluff it sometimes. And then that's when I see the fade come in, is if you don't get the right amount of spin on it or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Keystone is somewhat new, trying to fill this slot that we're going to talk about today, but not too convinced that it could be the answer for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, that is definitely, it's something I had on my shelf, and I really haven't never had many flippy putters or anything in my bag, so I kind of was trying that out. I got that from Connor O'Reilly when he came to the Tallahassee Open, I think a year or two ago. So he came out there and I bought that Keystone from him. So it's kind of just that disc that I don't have to throw that hard and I'll get that straight flight or it's like a slow flip up.
Yeah. That Buzz SS River.
Yeah. It's similar Trespass. To a Buzz SS. Yeah.
Okay. So we're looking for something, but ideally you'd want something that can kind of either fill that slot or even give you a little more flip option.
I'd say more almost, because I want something that I can put on hyzer and know it's just going to have that flip up shot. I'll see it sometimes with the glitch, but I feel like with the glitch, you know, if you get any anhyzer on it, it's just gliding to the right. So I want something that I kind of know that I can flip up, but I know it's not going to burn over.
Okay. Brad?
Yeah.
Brad, what did we try today?
Interesting. Okay. I think I know. Anyway, today, through the AVR3, Lee, you can see how flat this boy is.
Cool, yeah.
I threw the Love from Jester Disc Golf, and I threw the one, the only Pixel today. Those are the three that I threw.
Cool, yeah. I haven't heard of Jester. Is that a smaller company, Jester Disc Golf?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're made by MVP Streamline.
Cool, yeah. Those sound cool. Yeah, the Pixel, I was just watching Simon's video the other day, and he had this crazy, like, 200-foot throw-in with that thing, and watching him throw the Pixel has just been crazy how he can just get it on that anhyzer, and it just keeps gliding. So that disc is something cool.
Yeah. So Brad, hand feel, one of the big things that we've kind of heard it mentioned with Lee throughout, not a bead guy, loves a flat top disc. Hand feel, how are these stacking up for you?
Okay. So obviously, I just mentioned it, the AVR3 is like very flat, like in the way that like a like without the thumb track, like the Rhino or the Pig is flat on top. Like it is that level of flat. No bead on this. It feels really good in my hand. I mean, I kind of expected it to not feel good. I don't love like a super flat disc on backhand, but it felt really good. It actually fits really nice in my fingers, which is not necessarily an easy task to have. The Love, it is flat. It does have a shoulder, which is fine, but it is flat, no bead. This disc feels great. I mean, from the minute I grabbed it, I'm like, man, this feels really good. I've actually been looking for an excuse to throw it in an episode, and this was a perfect opportunity to throw it. The plastic's called taffy plastic, so that's fun. It's really cosmic neutron is what it is. And then the Pixel. Here's what worries me about the Pixel. It is flat on top. However, it does have a pretty big shoulder. You can see it here. And I wouldn't call it a bead, but almost where like the overmold and the undermold connect, it almost feels like a micro bead. Almost. Not quite. So that's kind of an interesting little thing about the Pixel. And I know that's kind of something that bothers you.
Yeah, I don't really mind micro beads. It's more of like the drone type beads. Those real loud, obnoxious beads. Mm-hmm. Just something about them just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
So the envy and that, nothing crazy about those.
Yeah. So you probably won't mind that at all then. So, I mean, hand feel wise, they all have maybe a different hand feel. If I was like picking one, like what feels best in my hand, it's the Love for sure. Second AVR3 and then third Pixel, actually.
Interesting. Okay. Once again, the gyro nation can't get too upset with us there though, because you know, like they took first and third.
Scoreboard.
Touche. Backup office, guys. Okay, so took them to the field. Had an idea of sort of what we were going for. Anything shock you while you were out there? Like, what was surprising about these?
Yeah, so, and just for those of you who didn't watch the live today, what I actually did was normally I'll just go to a field and just throw. Since we were looking for like what we're really looking for Lee was like he asked for something like, hey, I need like that 200 foot straightish like shot to the basket, like almost not upshot, but like a longer upshot, right? That's kind of what you're looking for, something straight. Mm-hmm. So I went to Timbrook hole 18. It says 165 on the tee sign, plays a little uphill, so we'll give it 170 maybe. So I was like, okay, well, these are putters we want. And like, that's the ace run hole, right? You really just give it a straight bit if you can. So I'm like, well, this is probably a good hole to try. Like, let's try a practical use, right? I think the thing that surprised me, the Love was pretty much like I anticipated. I'll give another comment on like what it reminds me of here in a minute. Pixel, I just could not release it very well. I'll be honest. Like, it just was not jiving with me for whatever reason. Not the Pixel's fault, just mine. I think I have the same problem with the Pixel that I have, like started having with the inner core when I was putting, is like my pinky gets caught. It's like a little deeper. So like my pinky gets caught on the end and like I just release it terrible. The thing that really surprised me, the AVR3, its flight numbers are 3202. I kind of expected this thing to be like have a little beef to it, actually. Now, don't get me wrong. It does have stability to it. It did fade. But it's funny, like the more beans I gave it, the more power I gave it, the straighter it got. It was very envy like. Like you give it some power, it'll like hold pretty straight and then have like that fade at the like the last 20-30%. So it did have stability, but it was not like beefy like I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't fall. I expect anything with two glide on a putter, I expect it to just like fall out of the air. Like that's what I'm like expecting, whether that's right or wrong. It did not do that. Like it did have a little glide, but not, I mean, the other two definitely had more glide.
That's fair. Okay. So initial thoughts on when we think straight, obviously like you can achieve straight in a multitude of ways. You can achieve straight in a flex line. You can achieve like, you just look at the bogey bros themselves, right? Hunter straight is he's flipping it up every single time. Like it's coming out on hyzer bank. Trevor straight, hard Annie, and just letting something stable pan out. So I know you said you didn't throw the Pixel that well, but when trying to achieve that straight shot, is there some that sort of shined more in that straight shot? Or even when you're thinking about how Lee was describing that flip up, did any of these seem to have more flip to them?
Yeah, even the Pixel, the AVR3 did not have flip up. So let's just like take that out of the discussion. To achieve a straight shot with the AVR3, you're going to, same way you would with an Envy, like even my quote unquote straight Envy, I'm like, okay, well, it's going to have some fade at the end. It's just going to be slower fade because it's beat in. And if I need that shot, that's what I'm going to. I'm going to have to drop it in a little bit. The Love and the Pixel actually were very straight just out the gate. The Pixel, I was afraid to give the Pixel any sort of power at first because it is, you know, it is a two speed. But when I finally gave it a little power, it did go very, it would like flip up a tiny bit. My hyzer angle is like between 12 and 7 degrees is kind of where it stays. So baby hyzer. Measured in Tech Disc, shout out Tech Disc. So even there, like it would flip up a little bit and go straight. It really didn't turn. If I threw it harder, it would turn. It definitely had that like indication that it would do that if I wanted it to. Definitely had some glide. The thing I liked about the Love is it like immediately encouraged me to throw it a little harder because it just like would just go straight. It would go straight. It's not turning. It would go straight. It would, if I threw it, like gave it a little extra, it would maybe like turn a little bit on me, but not like a bunch. It reminded me of like what a Lobster used to do for me as a mid range. The Lobster I loved because I could throw it really hard and it would just kind of like, it would turn, like the whole flight would just turn a tiny bit. It would just have like that gentle turn the whole time. I feel like this is like a putter version of that. For you, some of a higher arm speed, I feel like it would be like a little more torque resistant, but I also love the love, like if I threw it two nose up, it didn't like fade out on me. If I threw it, like if I gave it, like if I rounded my shot a little too much, it didn't just like burn over. It just kind of turned slightly. It seemed like very like risk adverse. Like it was very like error friendly, if that is a thing, but it didn't seem like it wasn't, its reactions to my input were not too dramatic either way. That's probably a good way to say it. I feel like the Pixel, however, if I round the Pixel, I actually early released it a ton and it didn't like hyzer out, so that probably says something. But the Pixel, I feel like if I really rounded it or like I gave it too much ante, I feel like it's going to be aggressive and take that input personally. But if you are really precise, I think that's the disc that's going to give you the most glide and the most distance, if that's what you're looking for. And maybe with a little more finesse that I don't have, the Pixel is probably going to be like a hyzer flip to straight or a hyzer flip to turn or a big turn. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know that I have the finesse that the Pixel requires.
I had a Luna in the bag for a little bit. It was a 2019 Paul McGrath Luna. And I think that Pixel looks, from what you saw on the edge of it, it looks really similar. It has that like slight round up to the flat part. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be really similar to that. And I didn't love the Luna. So I think we were saying earlier about how it has that slight dome almost, kind of would cause inconsistencies for me too, because something about that little dome has always messed me up, and that's what pushed me away from the Luna.
So here, I don't know how well. So yeah, here's the Pixel for audio. It's pretty like rounded. You can definitely see that. The Love like is like it's a little sharper. Can you see that? It's almost more like a mid range, in a way. You know how like a rounded mid range. It actually kind of it reminds me of the Lobster a lot, but the Lobster is way more rounded. Kind of in the same way, like. Now the Hex is maybe like a bad example, but if like the Hex, if its rim was like swollen, that's kind of what this feels like.
Cool.
So it sounds like between the both of you, from the objective third party, you know, involved in this, I didn't throw either of them. I'm not going to throw either of these discs. Not like ever in my life. I just, these specific ones. clarify. Once again, I'm not trying to get Gyro Nation to hate me. It sounds like the Love is kind of jumping out in front. Is that how you're feeling, Brad?
Yeah, because I think the love is going to be the slot you want the keystone to be. Mm-hmm. And the keystone's just not. And like, just objectively looking at your bag, I think, you know, that's really like what you're missing. Cause you love like that River Buzz SS like Trespass combo. And I think like the love is going to be like the putter version of that for you. Maybe not off the tee, but just definitely that reliability you're looking for, like maybe a slight hyzer flip. And I think the love's also going to give you the ability to put some more power on it. You just are, and maybe it's not more power, you just have better like rotation you're going to get. So I think you're going to get like a little different flight than me. That's really going to fit that space. You're really like, if I'm looking at your disc RPM right now, you have a pretty big hole right there where I think this disc will just like kind of perfectly fit into.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, it's labeled as a 2-speed. I just don't really feel that. I feel like it's more of 3-speed personally.
Mm. Mm. So Lee, would you be interested in sending you this love and trying it out, seeing if it works?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, it sounds like a good disc to fill that slot. And usually when I have a disc in the bag, you know, I'll keep it in there for a while. So it'll slowly beat in and probably even turn a little flippier eventually. But for right now, it sounds like that nice hyzer flip shot. So I think that was the best recommendation.
Dude, come on. Well, we will we'll get this in the mail for you. And Lee, hopefully have you on a future episode to hear if you love the love.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah.
Man. Another one. Episode 103 of me saying another one.
Okay, so the Strive, we came out and you were like, I don't know if the Strive, like, if I'm even sending this specific Strive out to Wes.
I did, by the way.
Hey, there you go, Wes. There you go. Appreciation, right? My question would be, when I was watching the live, I didn't want to, like, I kind of lurked in the live for a little while.
I saw you lurking.
Yeah, so I lurked in the live for two reasons. One, because it allows me to know mm-hmm. when I'm here at the house, like, oh, Brad's still at Tim Brook. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of time to get something else done before getting to the computer.
Yeah.
But then the other is just so I feel like I can, if something shocking happens while you're out there, I can kind of lean into it and I can just kind of frame my questions. And that was one of the, like, on the AVR3, I really like the AVR3. I actually bagged AVR3s for a little while. Mm-hmm. I even putted with them. But when we talk straight disc, that's why I recommended it, because it's there. But even before we went live, I asked, like, okay, how did it feel? Was it more stable than you thought? Mm-hmm. And we adjust accordingly on those straight shots. The love, I feel like every time you threw the love on the live, you were like, dang, this disc is really good. Okay. Yeah. This disc is really good. Yep. Okay. Is the love going, do you see room for the love in your bag, or is it was just really good, other people should check it out, but it probably wasn't that good to fill. It's not going to punch something out of your bag. Does that make sense? It can be a great disc that doesn't fit a slot in your bag.
See, I don't know, because I'm at this weird spot where my disc RPM is not updated. I'm hoping to update that today. This is Thursday, so maybe it'll be updated by the time you see this. But the spot that I always try to fill this spot with an Envy, which is that like straight to turn or like hyzer flip to dead straight disc. And I just like having like a very overstable Envy, a like straight to slightly stable Envy, and then a understable one. And that understable Envy is very hard to find. I'll scour our used bin, and anytime I find one that's like really flippy or like really destroyed, I like grab it, because that's the one I want. And I feel like that's just such a disc that's like, either takes a lot of disc golf and a lot of time to get a disc there, or it's just going to be hard to find in general. So I'm really kind of thinking the love can kind of be that slot. And like, again, there's parts of my bag I want to mold minimalize, but if I'm already throwing, like if I have two Envies in there that do two different things, I think I'm good there. That's that shot. This is a different shot. And I think, again, if we're talking about like room for error or like window of error, I think my error on like the understable flippy Envy is like not worth just keeping that mold there just to say I have three different Envies, if that makes sense. So the love might be that disc. And I think I would treat it like an Envy where I would want to throw it hard. That's what I like about the Envy. I can throw it hard and do those things. I think I could throw the Envy hard or the Love hard and have a beautiful, like, just turn or like hyzer flip. It might be like a slow origin, which I think is really kind of what I want.
Mm.
So I'm intrigued. Like I'm sitting here staring at them on the shelf and I'm like, do I try them for a minute? I said I wasn't going to touch my bag very much, but I feel like that slot I can experiment with. I feel comfortable with that slot.
Yeah. And maybe it's waiting till not Saturday with, you know, New London Longs looming around the corner, but maybe it's like, it's a tricky part of competition season, right? Because if you know that a disc like that is on the chopping block and you go to use it this weekend.
Well, I won't use it. That's the thing. I think that's what makes me think about
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is like, if let's say you don't put the Love in and you go, you use the other, like the other slots there, but you're thinking to yourself, there is a disc looming in the shadows waiting to take it over. I feel like the performance of that disc is going to be so volatile because it's either going to be every time you throw it, if it doesn't behave perfectly, you're like, well, that's why I got to switch it out for the Love. Like, that's why I got to do it. Or the other side where it's going to behave perfectly and then you're like fully entrenched even deeper into I have to have this one in here.
Yeah.
Which almost invalidates something that is perfectly valid in the I'm not playing as much disc golf as I used to. I need disc to season in faster. Maybe the Love fills that slot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just do you send it and put the Love in there? And that way it could confirm for you really fast. Okay. Yeah. It's so tricky. I don't think there's a right answer.
Mm-hmm. That may be a play at the home course only disc and just see like a one disc round and see how I like it and what it kind of does. Cause I have a lot of different shot shapes I can try it on. And I think that gives me a good indication if it's going to be a good fit for me or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Take the boys out tonight, take them out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. See if you still love the Love.
The Love.
It's all about finding those different spots. Now, speaking of something we love, we mentioned that we wanted to give like more of a schedule. So before we dive into our favorite segment, we want to make sure that we give you kind of the game plan. So like we said, video is currently live, the back nine of bag draft number 3. You guys heard the recap of it last week. Mm-hmm. That is currently live on our In the Bag YouTube channel. But we don't have any like actual episodes. You guys are seeing this if you're video watchers. We're on Foundation Podcast still. So next week on Thursday, we're going to drop Brad's In the Bag.
Mm-hmm.
Love may or may not. Did you already shoot your like, because I know you talked about it for Hyzer Club. It was there. So you haven't shot it yet.
Nope. It's my bag sitting right here beside me.
Okay. So I will give Brad the caveat that you do not like this debate will not be settled by the time that video goes live. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be. Let's just say that you need more time than a week to process that. So Brad's going to drop that the following week. And then on Friday, that'll be, I think it's the 31st. It is the 31st because I'm getting another installment on my sleeve that day.
Yeah.
The 31st. Will still drop In the Bag for you video watchers. It's still going to be on the Foundation Podcast channel.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, I will drop an updated version of my In the Bag on the In the Bag YouTube channel. And then that Friday, which will be the 7th,
correct,
should be the 7th, that will be In the Bag video on the In the Bag YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah. So recap, next week, the 30th is going to be my extended In the Bag on the In the Bag podcast channel. 31st Foundation Podcast is where the video will go live. Our podcast 104, Thursday, the 6th, Robbie's In the Bag. And then Friday, the 7th, will be on the In the Bag YouTube channel, episode 105.
Come on.
So, no, I'm excited about it. Again, we're going to do some more content over there and, you know, as quick as you can go over there, subscribe, notifications, give us some views, watch time, the more time we can dedicate over there. And again, that channel's for you all, just like everything else. So make sure you give us some ideas, what you want to see over there. I think, well, I was just thinking during the video, Robbie, or the podcast. And by the way, Apple Pod, any podcast, just listeners, nothing is changing for you at all.
True.
You're good to go. You know, well, a nice form of content might be like, if I am, okay, this situation with the envy and the love, right? The flippy envy and the love. Maybe I just go out and I a 3-hole challenge. Like I pick 3 holes at Timbrook. I'm playing those 3 holes entirely with those 2 discs. And then at the end of that, one's going in the bag, one's coming out. I think so. Let us know what you think. Give us some ideas in the comments. We're always open to what you want to see over there.
Yeah. I will say that part of my, I thought about this because of my studio setup and like the ability I have to like screen record and all that, because I go live over on the gaming channel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is someone mentioned it. I should have looked up the comment, but another way, because there's a lot of bags that come through in our application. This is, your bag is really well established. So I don't know that we could get, like, if we did an episode, it would be a lot more of like thinning things out than it would otherwise. So there is room for me kind of going through disk RPM and just like, all right, tell random number generator, pick bag 753. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then go to 753. And then just do like a quick, I would change this, I would ask this, I would ask this, I would ask this, and doing like shorts with that. Mm-hmm. That has definitely been an option that came up in my head. And if shorts in 90 seconds wasn't enough time, I could try to adjust accordingly. So
I love that.
We're definitely dreaming, y'all, of potential there. But the other ways we're dreaming is, Brad, we're dreaming of a new plastic. What's new in the warehouse?
All right. So we're in the middle of getting our huge MVP restock up. So we've got some of your favorites, time lapses, pixels, servos, signals. Let me look over here. Echo, Wrath, Octane, Relay, Envies. I mean, a lot of stuff's going on. If it was available at that time of ordering, it's in here. And don't forget, we have custom, heck yeah, Vision Rhythms. We're talking about rhythms. We'll have Neutron Rhythms as well, I believe. We have echoes that are custom stamped, and we have a third mold that is escaping me right now. The glitches. Yep. The glitch. So make sure you check those out. So a bunch, again, recently restocked is your best friend there. So just all the MVP molds that are going up. We just got in the Saki Bomb General, like that's going up as well for you big arm folks. As well as Braves. We have Braves in, everybody. That is a disc you need to check out. If you look for that, it's a very good disc. Also some Kristen Tatar Glow Medium Pures. And those feel great as well. We got a huge mini restock. Foundation Minis are in. I guess sneak preview. I'm working on a new stamp for some custom stamp in the bag stuff, Robbie. I'll fill you in when we're done recording, but
ooh, teaser.
Yeah, teaser. But yeah, as far as for the, and then we still have the new college hats that we dropped last week. There's still several of those left. Make sure you check those out. Any of your favorite in the bag, Robbie C merch, minis, patches, like all that is available. Make sure you check those out as well. So recently restocked your best friend. If you want to check out the love, we have loves in stock. They Jester also has the Peace Train and the Dreamweaver, which both feel really great. So Jester, and we have Foundation Care now. If you're a U.S. customer, you can buy those discs out. You can buy the Love, the Peace Train, and the Dreamweaver and see, hey, maybe the Peace Train wasn't what you're looking for. There's a form on our website. We also have a new chat bot. You can go to the chat bot and say, hey, where's this form? And if it doesn't know, guess what? Guess who you're going to talk to? Jason. It's going right to Jason. So we're really amping up the customer service. They'll let you know where the form is. You submit the form and we'll get you a disc that you like instead. It's 30-day risk-free. There's no reason not to try new plastic, folks.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Someone who wants to try new plastic, I'm looking at this Saki Bomb General. And let me tell y'all, hot opinion here. You know, we'll bring it in close for the hot opinion to our chat. I personally did not really love the advertisement for the General, the whole like this disc bombs and the explosion and all that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Props to them. I'm proud of them for pushing creative limits. Now, as someone who throws Trilogy Distance Drivers, I really need Ricky to release a Orbit Raider. That would be sick. As someone who loves the Raider, I would be all for that. But I bag Defenders currently. I'm very curious to see how the General stacks up against a Defender. And the best part is that with Foundation Care, I can get a Defender, or I can get a General. And if I'm like, hey, this wasn't it, it's not good, I'm not keeping it in the bag, or it's not good enough to push on my Defenders, I can then Foundation Care that thing back and just get another Raider, because I know we have Raiders in stock right now. So it's a beautiful thing to, there should be no fear in trying it. Oh, you want to try the Jester compared to your Envy? Awesome. Okay. The Jester didn't work out. Send it back, get an Envy that you know you love. Like,
or the roller looks fun. You get it and it's not what you wanted it to be.
Yeah, it wasn't fun for you. Apparently, you have a natural Anheuser release. Yeah, Who knew? The Rolo did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Send it back. Get yourself a tilt. It'll be great. Yeah. Brad, sounds like a great week, and I'm sure y'all are so busy with getting all of that live.
It's wild.
Sneaky disc that you mentioned and you glossed over it. The Wrath.
You don't hear anything about that.
The fact that you have Wraths is actually nuts. That Philip Nowicki, shout out to him. He's in my Patreon in the Birdie fam. He was throwing the Wrath. I mean, it felt like years ago. And I was like, Philip, that disc is sick, dude. What is that? He was like, it's the Wrath. Nobody talks about it. Phil's been talking about this thing for a long time, y'all. So check it out. The Wrath's incredible. If they get the Wrath, they love it and it's good. What do they do, Brad?
Gonna put it in the bag. We'll see you all next week.